SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
You heard that right. Ned Ryerson. Needle nose Ned. Ned the Head. Oh, one of our favorite days. Good morning, everybody. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com.
Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
I'm going to be trouble all day. Too early for flapjacks? Yeah, you know, doesn't take much to amuse me, I'll tell you. I started it early with that terrific graphic early this morning I put up of the February calendar that I found that years ago, and it's got, you know, it's got Phil Connors on every day of February, but then there's actually two, there's one of him from Caddyshack and one from one little drawing. If you haven't seen it on the Twitter, take a peek, you'll get a kick. And I don't think we've got all of our, when Casey lost the one of the computers, we had probably a half a dozen great cuts, including things like the Pennsylvania Polka, which we love, and but I've got the soundboard in front of me, so you know you're going to get gems like,
well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
That's one of my favorites. All right. It was certainly when it comes to dealing with racing's myriad of issues that feels like Groundhog Day, right? But of course, at the end, don't forget, you know, the payoff at the end is, you know, all the experiences and trial and error and so forth results in a satisfying conclusion. So we got that going for us, which is nice. Look at that, mixing metaphors. got a very eclectic set of conversations this morning. It didn't slip in yesterday. Year of the Tiger. Tomorrow, when Rich Eng joins us, we can Gong Choi Fahe and etc. Happy Chinese New Year, and of course later tonight, 11:30. 11:30 first post at Sha Tin for the big Chinese New Year card. This is always a huge card at Hong Kong. So we'll talk to Dick. We don't have a live race, at least from Hong Kong. We do have a live race today, which is going to be fun later, from Leicester. I'll get to that in a minute, actually. I should have included that in the Groundhog Day opening. But we'll talk to Dick, but we won't have a live race from typically Happy Valley on Wednesdays, but we'll catch up with Dick. Sid Fernando, top of hour two, and we'll certainly talk to Sid about the some pedigree action, and specifically the three-year-olds from the past weekend, Newgrange, and News by Violence, and I want Sid to riff on, as I brought up yesterday with Richard Mandela, if you're listening to the replay in the last half hour, the intrigue about, you know, here's an American Pharaoh colt, and you can tell, I won't say it, Richard Mandela was ambivalent about prospects for stretching Forbidden Kingdom out. But I want Sid to kind of riff on you know, taking a classic distance stallion like an American Pharoah to, you know, a mare that, you know, whose own lineage is more, you know, sprint oriented. So it'd be interesting. Let Sid give him some line and run with it. In addition, we're certainly going to let Sid flesh out the issues that he broached in his taking stock column at TDN yesterday. If you didn't see this piece, I would recommend a read, because as you've heard for any number of years, Sid's got a very good understanding and appreciation and interest in the legalities that cross over into our arena. And he is monitoring every development when it comes to HISA and the constitutionality aspect, and getting back to some of the things we didn't talk about yet this week. On Friday, and I'll let Sid touch on this, on Friday, Texas joined the handful of other states that are going to test in the courts the constitutionality of HISA, and that is considerable, you know, considerable weight, you know, adding to the, you know, to the already, you know, hefty lawsuit. So turn that over to Sid later. Nick Tamara with us today, and we'll certainly get some further recapping of the afternoon and early evening at Sam Houston, and a tremendous job by Nick in under difficult, you know, ambient circumstances in the wake of his father's passing and being laid to rest. So Nick did an amazing job coming back on Sunday, and it was great to hear him call those races, all of us in the event center at the NHC. So we'll talk to Nick about the recap, and we'll look ahead to what lies ahead at Sam Houston. But also with Nick, we will go through the Aqueduct Pick 6 tomorrow, the carryover sequence, 31,000. And I handicapped it earlier this morning. I think it's approachable. The seventh race is very difficult. A 16 non-2 going three quarters, and it's got an 11-horse field, 11 betting interests. There's an entry in there that is peppered by a Juan Vasquez. One of the two is a Juan Vasquez horse, and of course Vasquez just unconscious. It's crazy. Plenty of people would say it's impossible what he's done. They might not be wrong. 11 for 27 at the meet. I mean, it's unbelievable. However, this horse, who did just win, this one seems a little, my cousin Rich, 5-1 as part of this entry. The other part of the entry is trained by Dylan Clark. Scorpion Dynasty is Dylan Clark's, and my cousin Rich is the Vasquez horse for Bing Cherry Racing. And I don't know. Not impossible, obviously. And of course, a horse that, you know, took this horse a long time to break his maiden. That was his 10th start. So he's kind of had that career maiden look, and then was dropped. You know, they basically were banging his head against the wall, this horse. Maiden specials, dropped to maiden 20. Nobody took him at 20, and he just won. So 5-1. I've got him sort of in a B minus C plus range. This is the tough race tomorrow at Aqueduct. And of course, we got to also see, you'll have three races, the first, second, third, obviously, races 4-9 is the carryover. You'll have the first three races to evaluate if that bias that, you know, it seemed to be, we, certainly on Friday, it seemed like as the day was going on, the track was getting more and more fair. So we'll take a look. We'll see what happens, you know, after the snow and the snow was cleared, and we'll see, you know, if the track, those three races, it's very interesting. All three races are 1 mile. The first, second, and third are all 1 mile races, which is kind of strange, actually, that it's kind of too bad there wasn't a sprint in there, you know, because the track, you like to see, you know, both, how they're playing. So anyway, we'll have a little bit of time to make some decisions before finalizing your tickets. But I'm looking forward to this sequence. And, you know, I think you can get away in a few spots. The eighth and the ninth looks like there's, you know, two horses in each that are the most likely. Sixth is a maiden 20 that it's got two, you know, there's two, I thought, Romantic Man and We Ready, that looked a little bit more likely. Then there's a couple of, you know, there's a 6-1, I thought, on the rail, the Carlos Martin might be okay. Maybe three, there's, you know, there's a 15-1 shot. Lolita Shivmangal has got Our American Star, who's 15-1. And, you know, the Shivmangal, what was it, last Thursday, the 50-1 shot? But this horse, Our American Star, this one's an absolute consideration. Debo and Stanhope are the likeliest, but I didn't think Our American Star was a reach at all at a price. And then the maiden special that starts it, the Open Company maiden special, it's a little tricky to start the sequence. So the race 4 and race 7 tomorrow feel like the spots where you're going to have to really plot a strategy, and especially if you know you're trying to keep it at a budget. So I'm looking forward to talking to Nick, as always. And Seth, we'll get Seth Merrow in late. And we missed, it's too bad, we missed Seth at Vegas. He's, you know, he's come, he obviously couldn't come last August, but he had been to, I think, at least two or three in a row. So maybe next year. But we'll check in with Seth, and he'll have Gulfstream or Tampa. I know that Gus looked at Tampa, and let me just check and see if he may have also combined. Sometimes he does a little bit of both. No, he did. He's got, Gus has got looks. I'll put him up at the website. Gus has got looks at both Tampa and Gulfstream today. He's done with the Tampa opinions. He's not finished with the Gulfstream ones. So by the time we wrap up at noon, I'm sure he'll have it. We're also going to talk to our friend Chris McDonald from Philadelphia. And those of you that are friends with Chris and his pal Mike Yek, you may have seen, I assume you saw, his unbelievable sports bet on Sunday. And he was not alone. Darren Rovell circulated a similar play. But Chris took a punch with the prediction, the score prediction of both games, parlay, and hit for $59,000. So I congratulated him, and then I thought, you know what, I got to get him on. So we'll touch base with Chris McDonald somewhere between 10:30 and 11:30. Not sure yet when, you know, what's better for Nick. So that's the lineup, and as I mentioned with the hint about a live race, we will listen in at 10:50. You'll remember from last year, I think, and I thank the long shot lad, Kev Humphreys. Kev from Singapore picked up on my, you know, on my Groundhog Day tweet and augmented it with the reminder that the Chase Horse Punxsutawney Phil was going to run again at Leicester. And if you recall, last year he won at Leicester, and he's back. You know, his owner loves the movie, loves Groundhog Day. And so here he is running again on Groundhog Day. It's pretty funny. It writes itself, folks. The script, it writes itself. And apparently he's got a very good chance in there, too, based on what I read in the Racing Post, because he's kind of coming back down in class and could do well. And I have not seen an answer yet. I saw where, you know, I was going to say I saw where the worst organization in football made a decision about their name after yesterday's latest embarrassment and just stunning, incredible what went on yesterday. Involving the Dolphins, obviously, and Flores. I mean, just and we're worried about our warts and issues in racing. But anyway, I've only seen that stuff about what the WFT. I haven't checked with Dave Groening yet. If Groening approves of the new Washington name, but. I'm waiting for. Do we have word yet from Punxsutawney about Phil? No, that we don't have an answer. All right. Well, we'll sweat it out. Of course, the you hear this from me every year when I was living in Canada. I forget the name of the groundhog in Ottawa. But you know the one year they went and they opened the hutch and he had expired overnight, does he see his shadow? Does he not see his shadow? What if he's dead? So you know that was a particularly tough winter in Canada. Yeah, there was no summer actually. That's what happened. Winter went all the way from February till December. I've got to get this in. We got about 10 minute window, and this is serious that we have to address. And Ray Handel is going to join us. And I don't know if you saw this. I retweeted it, but we'll give a lot more attention to it. Ray's you know, essentially kind of a traveling lad. Jose Mejias was thrown at Turfway and badly injured, and I wanted Ray to visit to publicize the GoFundMe. And in addition, that news also triggered my reaching out to Shannon Kelly at the Jockey Club Safety Net Foundation, and it just so happens that in the last, I think, 24 hours, literally, I've seen two references to the Safety Net Foundation, and it occurred to me I've never had anybody. Shannon Kelly is the executive director. She's actually on vacation this week, but we'll talk to her next week because the Safety Net saw Ray's request for people to. You know, help with the GoFundMe, and responded and said, "This is something the Safety Net Foundation can help with." And someone else, there was also a car accident involving personnel that I should dig. I think I saved it. And somebody said the Safety Net Foundation can help. So I want to give them some publicity because this is obviously a part of, you know, the industry. Underpinnings that you don't see very often, and I thought they deserve some attention for obviously the good work that they're doing. Ray Handel joins us, and Ray, I wish I was calling to congratulate you on a big win, a stake or something, but I saw your note this morning. Tell us about what happened with Jose and how everybody can help.
Just an unfortunate incident that happened I think it was over the weekend at Turfway Park. The track had closed for a couple of days, and first day it reopened, I believe it was on Sunday, just doing a routine gallop with one of the horses there at Turfway, and the horse switched to his right lead down the backside around the three quarters and took a funky step and stumbled, and Jose tried to kind of pick his head up a bit and try and help him recover like you would, but he just had too much momentum going forward and went down and rolled over on top of him. It was a pretty horrific scene, I can only imagine. Norris was fine, got up, and they captured him quick, but Jose stayed down and never moved. They rushed over to him, and they ended up calling it in to have him airlifted to the Cincinnati Medical Center there at the university. And he's right now, he still has no feel. He broke I believe 10 ribs and fractured 4 different vertebrae in his back, and as of right now, he's still not doesn't have any feeling from his waist down. Ugh. It's a tragic event. He's been with me from the beginning since I started training, and he's just devoted himself and given so much to me and to our team and to so many different horses for over the years. It's just gone above and beyond, and he's a great guy. It's just a terrible thing to happen.
How old is he? Seems fairly young.
He's young. He's just a year older than me. He's 33 years old, and he has a little girl, Callie, who was with her mom at the time up in Connecticut. You know, he's got a little girl. He's 7 years old. Just starting life. It's just tragic.
As I mentioned, I don't know how much of what you might have heard as you were coming on, but when I saw that the Safety Net Foundation from the Jockey Club also responded to your posting, and Shannon Kelly, she's going to join us next week and with details of about the more general about the safety net side, but in the meantime,
We have a GoFundMe. It's on all my social media. If you're on Twitter, my handle's Handel Racing. I retweeted it. It's on my Handel Racing page, on my personal Raymond Handel page, and whatever anybody can do that they're comfortable with goes a long way. To help this guy out, because he needs everybody's help that can do it.
Is he where he can be treated? In terms of a trauma center kind of a facility, or is he being transferred?
He's transferred out of the ICU unit, and I was speaking with the work the people over there, the workmen's comp that are handling the case, and they said after he's released from the hospital, they have a place for him to kind of rehab and to get him going, and just said trying to get him transitioned to a different kind of lifestyle. But he's going to have a lot of things that he's going to need that all that stuff won't cover. We want to give him the best chance that he possibly can. We were kind of researching some stem cell stuff for him, and those things aren't covered by workman's comp, and we just want to give him the best shot we can.
Well, there's been over 20,000 has been raised in literally, 12 hours, which is encouraging.
Yeah.
Is this something, you might not be able to answer this, Ray. Is this something PDJF is also gets involved in?
You know, I don't know right now. I've never dealt with this, but we'll certainly reach out to them and see if they can help him and find out and, use it all sources that we can.
Well, we'll keep as much attention on this as possible. And
I appreciate it.
Remind everybody,
thank you for bringing
Ray.
It up.
No, I saw it. It was up early, and I saw it early on this morning, and I knew right away. I wanted you to get a chance to, draw more attention to it. This is tough. I didn't realize even that it's as dire as you're laying out.
Well, thank you, Steve, for having me on. I gotta jump off here. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You got horses on the track. I know. Go ahead, Ray. We'll talk
sir.
Soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
Not at all.
It. Take care. Thank you. Thank you.
You got it.
Bye bye.
Ray Handle, everybody, and whatever you can do. And for those that don't follow Ray, you should add it in. Handle Racing, HANDAL. We'll find out, more, and we'll keep tabs on this. We talk about it and have these, too often, obviously. But the fact that he's got youth and fitness on his side, Ray didn't sound particularly hopeful exactly on recovery. All right. Well, I'll send this link out and put it in a couple of places. Certainly the response has been very strong already to raise 22,000 in literally 16 hours. So a very good response to start, but they're obviously going to need more. And as I told you, we'll get Shannon Kelly as well to join us. All right. Not today, but because she's on vacation. But I want her to explain what the Safety Net Foundation does. And I mean, if you want to look ahead, actually, tjcfoundation.org. And I don't ever remember having anybody from this from this service arm of Jockey Club. So, and then I saw their names. I saw references and responses from from their Twitter account to two areas of need. And so I said, all right, we've got to stop, Kitty. they're doing they continue to work on this closet, and so the door downstairs is open, and Lucky. Lucky is boldly ventured upstairs, and he wants me to pay more attention to him. Right now, we want you to pay attention to this, though. Jose Mejias I guess I can't retweet Ray's thing again. But I can do this. Here we go. I'm going to do it because that was pretty early this morning here as we wait for Dick Powell. So that people don't have to search for it. There we go. All right. And done. Dick, good morning.
Steve, good morning. Your internet was not working until
I just saw that.
A minute ago.
Casey, it came back up. The streaming company fixed it. Oh, good. All right, because some people said so on Twitter. I let Casey know, and he let the streaming company know. So they fixed it. Good.
So it is. It is working, but I only heard like the last 30 seconds of what you were just talking about.
Not good. Not good. Long time foreman of Ray Handel's, Jose Mejia, with a spinal injury at Turfway working a horse. So it's listen. This is dangerous work. And
but what was the part about 16 hours?
It's $22,000 raised in 16 hours already to help.
Okay.
To help Jose. I on that front, and you certainly know, everybody knows that I'm sure there's a plenty of generous industries or groups out there, but the responsiveness and the way in which the racing and horse playing and fan community goes into their pocket to help in every difficult circumstance is really stunning. I mean, think about what was raised by racing related interests to help after the tornadoes in Kentucky and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's amazing, and no matter how often these things happen, either it's really to the credit of the kind of people that are involved in the industry.
Now, not being on Twitter, how can I help?
GoFundMe, and if you were to search Jose Mejia, M-E-J-I-A, Jose Mejia, I can send you the link too, but if anybody, just to go to GoFundMe, and there is the search function. And I think if you let me try it myself here and see what search is up in the upper left-hand corner, Jose Mejia. And it comes right to the top. Help Jose Mejia, severe thoracic spinal injury. It'll be right there at the top. All right. That's very thoughtful.
All right.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'll do it too. Dick, to turn our attention to HK, JC, Happy New Year, Year of the Tiger. I see that Frosted Flakes has a special box out for the Year of the Tiger. Did you see that? It made me laugh.
Yes, and unfortunately, Shot 10's going to be empty tonight. They're not allowing fans, and they've really... when you go on HKJC, something pops up immediately about the restrictions they're under for the, I think it's like four racing days for now. So you won't have the big crowds. We haven't had, and then they've been getting better as far as people being allowed to go to track. But unfortunately, tonight, which would have been a huge, huge night, there won't be fans. But there are 11 races. All on the turf, and some really interesting conditions. A lot of international horses. So when you go through the form guide, you see horses with maybe their first start in Hong Kong or one or two, but they're already eligible for higher class races because they've raced overseas and have done well. So just a fascinating card tonight, which... I will get to my selection in a bit, but backing up, we had the Hong Kong Classic Mile over the weekend, and it was everything I expected. Unfortunately, California Spangle could not hold on, and just a game effort. Mm. He gunned to the front from post 13, as expected. Got over. He was on the lead and on the rail after 150 meters, so he was smoking. Then he switched off really nice for Matthew Chadwick and held the lead in the turn, came out of it, He got challenged with 200 meters to go, and he kicked in again, which he's done before. And I'm like, wow, that's just awesome. Romantic Warrior, who is now 5-for-5, had the, I can't knock him, but he had the perfect trip. I mean, he drew the rail, and which isn't always the perfect trip in big fields, but just never had a straw in his pad. Every hole opened up for him to go through. He finally had the split horses in the deep stretch, and he got up to nail them. But both horses were just tremendous. It was, I think, a top renewal of the Classic Mile. Because last year, Excellent Proposal won it, and I really wasn't impressed with him or his effort. And he's a nice horse, but I don't think he, you know, he's gone on to greater things. But these two horses are really good. Now, hopefully they'll be back in a couple of weeks for the next leg of the Hong Kong Triple Crown for four-year-olds. But Romantic Warrior stays 5-for-5, and he didn't, Steve, he didn't begin his season until this year. I think it was November 8th. So he has kind of rushed through the conditions. He's now rated 101, as is California Spangle. And Tony Cruz indicated that California Spangle would go on at the next race's 1,800 meters. And no backing down from Tony's feeling that he can get the distance. So he's fast as could be, post 13. Didn't help in the sense of, not that he had a trip from out there, but the energy he had to use to secure his position probably did him in the last 50 yards. But he was just tremendous. And they both went off. Romantic Warrior was 4.9-1, and California Spangle was 4.6-1. So, you know, you got 980 on Romantic Warrior, which is a tremendous price. And California Spangle paid 4.30 to place. The Irishman made a big rally from far back. He got up for third. Turn Red Sung finished fourth. They also drew outside, but the 1,600 meters at Chatin is one turn mile, so they have plenty of time down the backstretch. A couple of races earlier, there was a Group 3 stake race for all the horses, Centenary Vaz Handicap, and Zabrowski, who had just won the January Cup in January, came back and won another Group 3 and got in under the conditions of the race. He got in with 133 is the high weight. So he was getting 20 pounds from Kaiying Star, 17 from Panfield. Matthew Kuhn just nursed him along in the stretch. And he held on by a short head over Butterfield. Savvy 9 was also right there in the photo. So a really, really good race. And they finished up great, 146.63. Romantic Warrior did the mile on 33.8. And it was not an especially fast turf course that night. So those are both very good efforts. And Zabrowski we could see in the Hong Kong Gold Cup in a couple of weeks, Group 1 going 2,000 meters, mile and a quarter. So really good racing. Last weekend, didn't quite have the result I wanted, but, man, he just ran fantastic. So that was really exciting.
Nice. I was, you know, it's funny. Being in Vegas, would have had the opportunity, but, you know, after the the marathon session Saturday, I was a little whacked out, so did not. And you know, the funny thing is, you know, it's such a big deal that we'll talk about it tomorrow with Rich Ang, but it's such a big deal there. You know, every casino, every hotel has got, you know, extensive decorations for Chinese New Year. There are tigers all over the place, and so I mean, I was conscious, I was thinking about it, but
I did, being the genius that I am, I set the alarm for 5 o'clock, thinking the race was at 5:05, and the race was at 4:05. I'm like, you know, I'm trying to get my consciousness, and I'm like, oh, what happened?
It's an hour ago.
So I just sat there and watched replays. It was live to me. It just wasn't real time, but I kind of missed my mark, so to speak, on that one. So we have still kind of in this schedule change, racing tonight at 11:30 Eastern Time, 8:30 Pacific Time. And as you go on to HKJC, just go to racing, local, and then current odds. And all the odds, all the win place, all the exact price, they're all up for all the races. And it might seem early, but with no one on track tonight and the extensive off-track wagering system that they have, there's already a ton of money being bet. So you can go through the form guide and you can write odds down. And what I did... And it's a good exercise, Steve. A lot of these races, they're class four, and that's where debut runners begin. Horses haven't raced anywhere. And what I did was I went through the races to see if any of these were taking money. Because every once in a while, so you get some first-time starter, and it's like crushed in the pools. And then I'll go back and look at the barrier trials for that horse and things like that. There weren't many tonight that were even taking money as I went through them. So, when you go through a class four, I look at them, and then I look at the ones that have already raised and see how their form stacks up and things like that. So it's a big advantage. You got all day to look at all the current odds. They will change some, but they're not going to change much, especially the horses that are long shots. They're going to stay long shots, so you don't have to worry too much about them. The race I wound up focusing on is race number 9, and that's a class 3 handicap, 60 to 80 rating, 1400 meters. So this is the 7 furlong equivalent. And after looking at the race for a long time, I'm going to go with number 12, Running Glory. John Size, Joe Marrera, they've already combined to win 20 races at the meet. They are a hot combination. Joe is still the leading rider, although Joe's about to be put on the shelf for 3 weeks with that suspension he got a couple weeks ago. But he's riding tonight. Now, he's from post 12. Well, when you look at the stats that are provided in the form guide, post 12 going 1,400 meters is not bad. Post 12 going 1,200 meters is a little tougher because it's a shorter run into the turn. And that's a big, wide, sweeping turn, so that turn begins sooner than you think. So 1,400, they got plenty of time. And the statistics show that you can win from outside. And the horse finished brilliantly last time out. And, in fact, he beat Class 4 in his last race on January 9th. He went from a 52 rating, and they moved him up to 63, he's moved up to class 3, so he's kind of at the bottom of class 3, gets in 116, gets Joe back, who's ridden him in all three of his career starts, but that last race, he went 121.83, finished from past 9 horses in the stretch, and just did it pretty easily, so I expect him to be able to move up to the next class and do well, so we're going to use the 12 in race 9, and then we'll play him in exactas with number 5, co-partner Ambition, a Tony Cruz runner who right now is 3-1, so he right now is the favorite, and number 9, Charity Grace, from Danny Shum and Matthew Poon, they're 12-1. So Rock Warrior, the 12, is 3.7-1 right now, so we'll play him 12 with 5-9. Probably play exactas one way and then come back the other way without boxing them. So 12 and 5-9 in race 9 tonight. That shuts in.
Excellent. And this is, even for East Coasters, this is not a not an impossible start time. 11:30, and you basically every half hour till 4:30. So you got. If you're a night owl, here's your chance. And on the East Coast, the West Coast, I should say, it's a very approachable time. You know, it's funny. Have you? Did you see the most recent version of A Star Is Born with Gaga and Bradley Cooper?
No, and I haven't seen the original version. So
you haven't seen the other two either. You haven't seen. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
The weak sister in that trio is definitely the Streisand Christofferson. I hope I'm not offending, you know, Streisand fans, but early on there's a scene where I happened to have watched flying home from Vegas. It's tough to watch. It gets very difficult to watch. But all three versions are tragic, and so was that. That silent film that the black and white version that was tremendous, actually, that I thought was great. That's really the same, you know, that's the same story of Norman Maine. But there's the early scene where she comes home from the first meeting with Bradley Cooper, and Dice Clay is her dad, and Dice and all of his limousine driving buddies, they're all hanging out, and they're playing. It's early morning, and they're playing the races from. I don't think it's Hong Kong. It looks like it's Japan because of the characters look like the scene. But she even remarks, "What are you guys doing? You're betting horses at 6 a.m. What are you doing?" And it made me laugh, and it made me think of that we were going to talk, so yeah, it's very fun. Dice was fabulous in that. He was really, and apparently they cut some scenes. There was more Dice that you could have had in Star Is Born.
I'm a Dice fan, so.
Then you should you guys, you and Namissa, you might it's terrific. It really is very good, really very good.
Oh, Karen's watched it. I just walked in and out of the room. And
I got you.
Potato chips and leave.
Yeah.
Speaking of Night Racing, we're back Sunday afternoon, but with Happy Valley. So with the change today, we go back to Happy Valley, 11:30 Eastern Time, Saturday night, and we get to see Happy Valley this Sunday, and then we're back on the normal schedule next Wednesday, back on Happy Valley. So next week when I'm on, we'll have Happy Valley. So they kind of flip things up with Chatin hosting the New Year celebrations, and a lot of big races coming up. Big decision for Golden 60. Does he shorten back to 1,400 meters, or does he stretch out to 2,000 meters with those two Group 1s coming up on February 23rd? And, just a lot of good racing coming up. And a lot of newer, like I was saying, a lot of newer type horses have been introduced now. And hopefully they can accelerate through their class levels, and it's fun to watch these. So this Romantic Warrior started out rated 52, and he's already up to 101, 5 for 5. That's pretty good.
Oh. Well, Dick, so
big home run for Sid Fernando. That was just so well written and logical and sensible, and just I read it early last night. I think it came out before the full edition came out, and it was just great.
We're going to talk about it. We'll talk about it next with Sam.
Yeah, just terrific job on his part.
So you preferred it to? I shouldn't even go in this direction, but little bit more reasoned and coherent than Barry Irwin's missive last week?
Short answer, yes. Well, just, you know, this whole, on anything like this, well, I don't care if it's horse racing or whatever, zero tolerance, you know, throw the bums out. It's just, okay, but can you do it right? Can you do it in a fashion that doesn't get overturned? And I'll give you an example. Way, way back, I used to have worked in human resources, and I used to have to handle grievances. So someone would come, and they got fired from the job. And then I'd have to kind of investigate. He was late for work. All right, okay. How many times is he late? Oh, all the time. Well, let me see the records. We don't have any records. So you didn't document any of the other times he was fired? No. Okay, is late for work a fireable offense? Well, what do you mean? I said, well, have you fired anybody else for being late for work? No. So it's like you probably had every reason to fire the person, but had you done your job, yes, it might have been the final straw, and boom, you're gone. Instead, the person gets the job back. Because you couldn't do it right. It's a simple process, and you screwed it up. And then this whole case has been screwed up from day one. And not just the case, but the HISA part, because this desire to live in this world that is, I'm not familiar with it, but just overruns everything in its way. And then you get there, and it does, you know, it doesn't work. People have rights. People, you know, we have a constitution. You know, just zero tolerance, kick the bums out, suspend them for life, and, you know, it's tiring. It's dramatic. If you're really serious about it, you would have been serious about it for many, many years. And I don't know. I just love the way Sid laid it out, that we are a nation of laws, and we have a constitution, and people have inherent rights, and just including people we don't like and people that might be breaking the rules. Just have to do it the right way. And this knee-jerkism doesn't work. And all it did was last week, between the Fishman trial and the Naira hearing, boy, could you use your foot as target practice any better?
At the same time, the other aspect of this, to a degree anyway, Dick, is you have to, no matter what is going to be the mechanics involved, you know, assuming that there is a, you know, some workable path forward, let's say, undefined, because conceptually there are certainly merits to the concept of an umbrella organization to help manage the standardization and uniformity, yeah, and so forth. So conceptually, it's fine. It if and when that works and it's acceptable to all the key stakeholders, you're going to still have fallout in the administration, and if there is, you know, if there is an ability that is discovered and can be utilized successfully in terms of, you know, getting on equal footing with anybody you know, taking an edge through currently undetectable means. You're still going to have the same public displays of, you know, judicial working. That's not going, you're going to have, I mean, look at what went on yesterday with the NFL, where, if there is a more egregious situation in professional sports than what was displayed yesterday, and God knows if they ever get into those, you know, all those emails that you know, were part of brought on Gruden's dismissal, etc., then, you're going to go through these kinds of things. If you want to be better in any aspect, you're going to have embarrassing and you know, kind of bloodletting scenarios that have to play out.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt, and I have no problem with that. My problem is when you try to get on the same page, it has to be negotiated, and you can't have one group, Bigfoot, everybody else, and especially in this case where you don't even bow the horsemen until the very end. Oh, we're going to give you a chance to speak. Oh, even in Arizona there was spouting that line. You know, it's like, why did you go through this whole process without more input from more groups, stakeholders, or whatever you want to call them? You know, that's where they got off to a horrible start.
Yeah.
And created people like me that were suspicious and cynical and skeptical about the process when I see how they started it off. You're telling everybody what to do, okay, but, you know, these other people have rights and it has to be done correctly and everything else, and it just wasn't. And that's you know, this. So yes, when I read someone what Sid wrote, I wish it had even more exposure, but just to break it down, logical components, and you know, that was great.
We'll talk to Sid next, actually, and we'll do some pedigree work. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillendale. And Dick, did you see your shadow this morning or not?
I don't know. I like De Blasio, what he did with the groundhog.
Why? What did he do?
Oh, his first note. This was like, if you didn't know who he was and how disastrous he was going to be as a mayor, he went to Staten Island. I don't know if it was at the zoo or whatever, and they had a groundhog, and I don't know. He goes to pick it up or whatever, and he apparently dropped it and killed it. that was the metaphor for the next 8 years of his administration.
Basically, well, you know, when you're dealing, you know, with the groundhogs, you got to.
Don't drive angry. Don't drive angry.
Don't drive angry.
Now, very, very quick thing.
Yes.
I don't want to cut it to Sid's time. I watched the Pegasus on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I didn't have the track feed on, as Samico's feed or anything else. Nick Scull comes out in the post parade. I thought he looked dull. He had his head on the pony's neck. Just life is good was on his toes. Now, he had a 13-hour van ride because of this transportation problem that has emerged with lack of help, lack of pilots, FedEx having to make priority decisions of who gets, you know, which cargo gets to go on the plane. They backed off with horses and things like that for weeks. So next go has to go from New Orleans to Gulfstream, 13-hour van ride, before the race, I wasn't thrilled with the way he looked. The race unfolded. Okay, I thought he ran gallantly just to be second. And he comes back, and they Joel is still on him, and he comes back, and he's, you know, holding him on the outer rail. He picks his tail up, and he empties himself out. I mean, just liquid green diarrhea.
Mm.
And I'm like, the horse is sick or whatever. You know, there's not much you can do, especially race day or anything else. And I don't expect anyone to talk about it. He's gone to stud. He's going to have a nice life and all that. But I was really disappointed that he, you know, the transportation thing I thought was a big issue. Here's Todd, you know, 30 minutes away at Palm Beach Downs, basically a home game. And Nixco, not only on a road game, but, you know, had a long van ride. And then crazy wintry-type weather in South Florida. Not that it's super warm in New Orleans. But it was just, it was something I'm watching. I'm like, wow. And I talked to a couple of people that saw it, and they had kind of the same impression that I had. And I don't expect Brad or anyone to mention it or anything else like that. But it was just a shame. You get this big, big race, and he wasn't at his best.
Yeah.
He just was so courageous to just keep chasing and chasing and chasing. You know, just he's a wonderful horse, and life's good. Who knows how good he is. But he was, on the day, life is good was sensational.
The as we discussed yesterday with Todd, you know, and others. I mean, there's some nice things ahead. And Asmussen too. We talked about Midnight Bourbon, and they're you know, he's plucky. You know, he may never get that big, you know, that big signature win, but between him and Mandaloon, and you know, plus there's the ones that are coming back. You got Flightline. Hey, we're in for, I think, the underpinnings are in place for a very good handicap season.
Yes. No, definitely. A knock on wood.
Yeah.
And they all stay safe and sound.
Yeah.
I can barely hear that. I don't know.
Okay. I'm not. I'm trying to do all the engineering here, but I'm saying. You know, I think we've got a very good year ahead.
Am I right?
thank you, thank you, Ned Ryerson.
I thought it was am I right or wrong.
That's racing's Ned Ryerson. Nick Zito.
I'll be hearing that in about an hour. I got check in with him after training. So,
yeah, oh, nice.
That's always, yeah.
Dick, I appreciate it, and we will. I'm not going to be. I'll be in New Orleans the week after. So I was going to say I'll talk to you from New Orleans, but it won't be until I'll talk to you from New Orleans on the. On the 16th, I'll talk to you from right here next week.
Okay.
All right,
Steve. Thanks a lot.
Dick Powell, everybody. HKJC Racing on Twitter. And just hours away, actually, about 12 hours from now. Make it 13 hours from now on the East Coast. So, well, and 13 hours from now on the West Coast, except it'll be 8:30. Back after this, though, we'll take a break. Sid Fernando going to join us, and we got a ton, as always. We've got a bunch to do with Sid. I've got Chris McDonald, who won himself $60,000 on a $2 bet in sports. Picked both of the NFL games. The correct scores. Unbelievable. Somebody did the same thing on a $20 bet, though, and made $600,000. But for $2, it was just crazy. I had to get Chris. I know Chris and his pal Mike. They come up to Saratoga, and I want to get him on. And of course, we're also, what are we? We're 45 minutes away from Punxsutawney Phil not seeing his shadow necessarily, but winning again at Leicester, in the sixth race at Leicester. So we'll listen into that race. Nick Tamaro in a bit. Seth Merrill. So, a couple of hours yet on this fabulous Groundhog Day. Well, come on, I got to do better with Casey. I'm not, you know, I'm not all adept at the technology side of things.
Where are we going?
Oh, let's not spoil it.
Oh, let's not. Oh, I got that.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 38463.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Sirius XM Sports presents